I think we're joined now by Freddy Usabuera. Are you there, Freddy?
Yes, I am, Fiola.
Well, thank you very much. People should know you are, of course, a Rwandan expatriate, I guess is the expression. And you led or participated in the leadership of a demonstration at the G7 in Quebec City. I was impressed. Le Soleil and others covered your gave more attention, I would say, to your protest of the presence of Paul Kagame, president of Rwanda. First of all, why did you decide to go to the G7, and what was the message?
Thanks, Phil, for having me today. First of all, I'd like just to, to send my greetings to everyone who's following us on radio, and thank you also for thinking to have me with you today. The reason why, actually, we decided to go and, Quebec, it's because just a few days ago, I believe it was the beginning of last week, Monday or Tuesday, we have learned through Twitter from our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who who just sent a message out saying that out of the seven leaders of the G7 invited for the G7 summit in Quebec, he had also invited, 12 other leaders, mm-hmm. as they always do. Mm-hmm. And one of those leaders invited to the G7 this time was Paul Kagame, the president of Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And once we found out that information, we were really shocked. We were shocked because, as you might know, or as also whomever is following us might know, Kagame has been accused of being a war criminal and also accused of having killed so many people in Rwanda, in Congo, in Burundi, and even before that in Uganda, because what people have to know is that before Kagame became the president of Rwanda, he was one of the chief in the armies of Museveni in Uganda. You know, the army of Museveni that helped him to take power in 1986 in Uganda. Mm-hmm. And Kagame was in charge of the secret services. At that time, he was very young. He was, I believe, in his 20s. And, people can go on the net and check exactly what happened back then. And after that, when they created their army, the RPF, the Rwandan Patriotic Front, Kagame just led the war and ended up taking power in Rwanda after the genocide of 1994. And as the reports that have been coming out since then show, there are the reports from the UN specialist of human rights, mm-hmm. reports from Human Rights Watch or even Amnesty International, and some other specialists, mm-hmm. Who have worked on the case in Rwanda, have confirmed without no doubt that Kagame has his hand in what happened in the genocide of Rwanda.
April 1994.
Yes. That's right. That was April 1994, what has been called the genocide against the Tutsis. But we have to remember that the Hutus and Tutsis have been killed. Tutsis killed for who they are, for being Tutsis, and Hutus also killed in some cases, actually in many cases by the RPF, for who they are, for the ethnic.
Well, I just want to make sure, just to say, and I know you must have seen it, there was a feature article by Judy Reaver, author of In Praise of Blood. She mm-hmm. concurs with you, and she makes that point in her book, In Praise of Blood, that the first attacks, the opening of the war in October 1990, were the RPF troops who were at that time still very much in Ugandan mode. Some of them were still officers and soldiers in the Ugandan army. When they entered Rwanda, the first uh-huh. victims were Hutus.
Yes, they were. I mean, the war started on the 1st of October, 1990. And at that time, actually, when the RPF attacked Rwanda, what they have put out is that there were refugees, they have been refused to go back to the country, but nobody knew, in the back of their head that they had another agenda, which with time, people realized that actually the agenda was not to return, but to take power in Rwanda by force. So Rwanda was attacked by the Ugandan army led by Kagame, and every time where they were moving and attacking, they were killing a massive population. And I thank you for mentioning Judy Rivers' book and Praise of Blood, because in her book that she has written just actually from the 1996 up to date, you know, you know, she had done a tremendous job, you know, of investigation. She has done more than 200 interviews with the people who were close to Kagame, his counselors and his advisors, you know, members of his army, who have confirmed that people that have been killed in Rwanda, especially for the Hutus, they were planned to kill them. So there was a plan to eliminate as much number as they can, you know, of Hutus. And also, what she confirms also that has been said by several other reports is that even in the genocide of the Tutsis, you know, Kagame has done so much to infiltrate the militias in Interahamwe so they can kill as many Tutsis as they can, you know, and, you know, which sometimes when you read the book, you know, you get chills. You can't understand how somebody who's saying that he saved the lives of Tutsis, but is one who planned to, you know, for them to be killed just with one objective, to take power.
Yes.
That's chilling. Yeah. So that's the reason why, we have, you know, decided to go in Quebec and, you know, show how much we disagree of the decision of Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
Because we can't understand as a Canadian how our government can decide to invite somebody who rolled the red carpet to a criminal like him.
Yes,
and
there's unanimity in the Rwandan community, which I think that has been ignored. David Himbara, who has an excellent site, I urge people, he tweets, and he's very much in support of your demonstration. He served in the Kagame administration, witnessed it, you might say, intimately, and very nearly was killed himself. He was at risk. And I traveled recently to Europe, and I was attended meetings. The Rwandans coming together, I would have said, talking to them, they were about half Hutu, half Tutsi, and they were of one opinion.
Yeah,
that he is oppressing them as Rwandans, Tutsi or Hutu, he's oppressing.
Yes. Yes, actually what happened, I mean, which confirms exactly what we have been saying for years, for more than, you know, ever since Kagame took power, is that Kagame did not take power to help, you know, Rwandans, because as it seems like the man himself, he's there just for his own interests, you know, because if you look at Rwanda now, that's the reason why even we went to Quebec to ask, to show the Quebecois and others that we don't understand the reason why he's invited, you know, he controls 85% of the economy of Rwanda. You know, he has killed children, women, and whomever tried.
And he has political prisoners. He has Diane Wigara, who is Tutsi, comes from a prominent family there. She and her mother are both in prison, along with Victoire Ingabire. Could you talk about those two prisoners?
Yes. Actually, what happened is in 2010, Victoire Ingabire, who actually is a young lady, I mean, I can say she's young because under 50, she went in 2010, you know, to represent herself as a candidate for the presidency. You know, she got into Rwanda, and during the genocide, she was not in Rwanda. She was studying in Europe. She had been outside the country for over 15 years, you know. So she returned to Rwanda with the idea of trying to bring democracy and help build Rwanda, and, you know, especially, you know, supporting the Rwandans to move ahead and to move on with a free country, you know. And then when she got there, the first thing that Kagame did was to arrest her, accuse her of being a genocide denier and also being a genocidaire.
And he shaved her. And he shaved her head.
That's right. And the lady was never. She was never in Rwanda during the time of the genocide. But it's just because he felt that if she was to run, she would win the election.
Yes.
So she was a Hutu. Then she got accused of being a genocider.
Yes.
But then 2015. You know, I don't know if our Canadian fellow, you know, but he changed the constitution to be elected, you know, to go for a third term, which was not allowed. And then this new young lady, courageous lady, very young, you know, she's a Tutsi, she presented herself as a candidate. And the next thing she saw, They managed to I don't know how I can say that, to publish modified pictures, you know, showing her as naked, just, you know, the wrong picture.
They like to do that, to really demean people.
That's right. But she didn't stop. She came out, she said, you know, these are lies, they're not my pictures. And then she kept going on. But she was harassed. You know, the people who were helping her were harassed. And they ended up arresting her, her mother, and her younger sister. Mm-hmm. You know, they've put them in jail, and then later on, because her other sister, Anne, she's got an American citizenship, they released her. But they kept their mother, they kept her in, they kept Diane in jail, and her mom. Okay, and just to let people know, before even that happened, you know, the father, that family is one of the richest families in Rwanda because you know they have manufacturing plants and stuff like that. But what Kagame did just to show them that they would never dare to you know to oppose his words, he closed the one of my manufacturing plant. You know they killed the father of the family from what. All reports are saying right now. They
certainly, the family is convinced of that. Absolutely.
And even as we hear that some people confirm as was a plan by the RPF, and also now what they're doing, selling all their property, you know, everything they have. They destroyed their hotel. Now they are saying, I believe it was today. Today they were selling also what's left of their belongings. I mean, and then we are asking, why then Canada, a country that is one of the top countries that stands for human rights, you know, can roll the red carpet for a criminal like Kagame, you know?
Well, you had a great sign. Somebody held up a sign asking this question. They said, end the impunity for Kagame. And he has impunity. He gets to do things and nobody investigates.
That's right. And what we're trying to do, actually, as a Rwandan community, I can remind those who follow us that I was there representing the Rwandan community. You know, we have wrote letters. We have wrote letters to the Minister Goodell, who's in charge of security in Canada, through our lawyer, you know, asking to declare Kagame a personal non grata on the Canadian on the Canadian soil, but you know we never got a response till now. We also sent out a communique from the our organization, okay, and you know putting out the reasons why we have asked Kagame, our government, to not to continue. You know, we can't understand how Canada, the seven leaders of the world, can sit around the table with a criminal like him. The guy has so much blood on his hand. And what I should also let know to the Canadians who are following us right now is that whatever they are being told about Rwanda being, you know, an example of growth economy in Rwanda is wrong because many experts say it, you know,
it's called smoke and mirrors, right?
That's right.
David Himbara, by the way, David Himbara's Twitter, people should go there. He documents what Freddie Usabuera is pointing out. He is an economist. He traces all the lies and points to the facts.
That's right. Actually, some examples, just a few examples, if you can,
yes,
if I can just say, you know, Rwanda, people are dying of hunger. Over 150,000 for just the last 2 years have fled the country to the eastern other countries, the eastern countries in Rwanda, you know, and Rwanda has been receiving money to help. You know, Rwanda need food aid, you know, every year, and the WFP has been spending about 10.4 million a year, you know, to help with those problems. Okay, mm-hmm. Rwanda is the 17th most poorest country on the world. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, just about the cooking the numbers, you saw the West can see that Rwanda is growing, you know, mm-hmm. They have published their tourist income as 40,000 million, you know, last year, as they claim. Actually, they're claiming they have made 400, but the number they published was of 20 million only, you know, and, you know, and those keeps going on.
Yes.
What Kagame has done was with the money, actually with a tax, with the taxes we sent to him, you know, mm-hmm. he has built some buildings in Kigali.
He depends on foreign aid.
That's right. 40%, actually 40% of the budget of Rwanda up to date is made of foreign money.
Yeah. Now, Freddie, I want to make sure I ask you this because I don't think listeners know, if you could tell us very quickly. There is a crisis with refugees in Western Rwanda, where they have the people that they used to claim they were liberating, the so-called Banyamulenge, but they are in camps. Is that true? And UNHCR is supposed to be protecting them? What's happening?
Yes. Actually, what happened, to make the story short, is that in 1990, when Rwanda started the war, you know, in some countries, you know, our neighboring countries, there are people who live there that speak our language, the Kinyarwanda. So after the Second World War, when the Africa, the Europeans, and you know, the Western countries started to, you know, so they have decided where the borders have to be in our countries, and some people, well, who were on the side of Rwanda ended up being in Congo, Uganda, or Tanzania, or elsewhere. So when Kagame attacked, he went because there was Rwandophone big community in the Congo, you know, he convinced them that his war was also their war. Okay, they joined his forces, helped take power in Rwanda, but then after, so he was using them. After, he used them to go attack the country, the Congo, you know, mm-hmm. and then after the war, he has built some refugee camps for them. Keep them inside Rwanda, you know. The
inside
ones
Rwanda.
Yeah, that's right. The one he didn't know, he didn't want to be using again, you know, because mm-hmm. he was also planning against some wars to attack the Congo, as he did in 1996-97. He built the refugee camps. He kept them there. So in that case, he could get money from the Western, saying, you know what, I have refugees here to help.
Yeah, but those refugees want to go home, and he won't let them.
Yes, they said, they told him straight out. They go, you know what? You used us. We don't want you be used anymore. You are sending our kids to fight for your own interest. You have been killing us for ages. Now we won't go back home, or we are asking the UNHCR just to be, you know, resettled in another country. We can't keep living under this condition.
Yeah.
So the Rwanda didn't want that. What the refugees did, then they decided to leave the camp, went to the office of the UN office, the NCCR office in the eastern province where they live.
Yeah.
And then the next day, what the Rwandan Kagame decided to send his army, you know, they shoot on the refugee.
Shooting.
They killed people, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, they killed some of them, so they had to run out for their lives, went back in their camp, those who didn't end up dead. So
shooting his old allies.
That's right. And then, a few weeks after, he sent other troops, you know, the security troops of his army, Actually, what's being said is that probably most of them are part of the President Guard force. They went, you know, they encircled the camp, and they want to arrest the leaders of the refugees, because the leaders of the refugees were saying, you know what, you can't keep killing us like, you know, like we don't have rights to leave.
And his answer is, yes, I can.
That's right. And then he went on again, killed them. And then you end up seeing him on the list of invited people in Canada. It's not unacceptable.
Absolutely.
And again, also, what I have forgot also to tell the people is that in 2010, actually, the UN experts did a tremendous job in investigating the killings and the human rights violations in the Congo when Rwanda attacked the Congo in 1996, 97, and 98, and the conclusion of the report is called the Mapping Report, Congo's Mapping Report, that it was out in October 2010, and the conclusions are more than clear. The experts say that Kagame's troop, under his orders, have made, you know, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and also crimes of genocide.
Yes. And that report is going to be where we have to end. Freddy Usabuera, thank you very, very much. You covered all that ground in it, and you had a great demonstration. We're very glad to talk to you and look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, thank you very much, Phil. And before I go, I'll just remember people that not only I am the member of the community, I am a member of the community, the Rwandan community, but also the spokesman of our campaign for change in Rwanda. I'm Ahori Wachu, which is spelled Ahoriwacu. And people can follow us on our website, which is amahoriwachu.org, or also follow us on our Facebook, you know, and help us change the situation in Rwanda.
Thank you. We will post that ourselves, and we'll remind people of it in the future. Thank you, Freddie.
Thank you very much, Phil, and thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thanks, Phil Conlon, and thanks, Febby. I bet we better get out of here. We'll see you next week.